He separated a portion of himself in another form as Srimati Radharani. And she is the manifestation of Krishna's blissful potency, or Ladini Shakti. Even an ordinary person will want a friend or a child or a lover with whom he can play, with whom he can enjoy life. So Krishna also manifested the same sentiment, and therefore he manifested Srimati Radharani out of his pleasure potency. And thus he enjoys many pastimes with Srimati Radharani, day and night in the groves of Vrindavan. For us, Srimati Radharani may be far away, but we have experience of Srimati Radharani in the pleasure of devotional service, because the pleasure of devotional service is also the manifestation of the Ladini Shakti. The Ladini Shakti gives pleasure to Krishna through devotional service, and the Ladini Shakti also gives pleasure to the devotee who renders devotional service. Srila Prabhupada often said that when we please Krishna, automatically we become pleased. And certainly what Srila Prabhupada said is true. The Bhagavatam gives the example that when you water the root of a tree, automatically all of the limbs and branches and twigs and leaves of the tree are watered. And when one puts food in the stomach, automatically all the different limbs and parts of the body are nourished. So similarly, when one renders service to Krishna, all of Krishna's parts and parcels, or all living entities, are also benefited. And the one who renders the service and gives pleasure to Krishna through devotional service also feels pleasure through the medium of the Ladini Shakti. Because we are all parts and parcels of Krishna, we also have the same qualities of Krishna in minute quantity. And therefore, we also have some small amount of pleasure potency. In one purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada mentions the phenomenon that probably all of us have experienced to some extent, that when we come to Krishna consciousness, we experience a pleasure that we never experienced before in the material world. And we actually feel happy. But our friends and relatives who supposedly wanted to see us happy actually are not happy when we find happiness in Krishna consciousness. I recall even George Harrison wrote a song where he mentions that he had so many friends that he thought were his friends, but when he came to Krishna consciousness and experienced the supreme pleasure pleasure of Krishna consciousness, his friends were no longer his friends anymore. They wanted him to leave Krishna consciousness. So in the purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada remarks that when one comes to Krishna consciousness, the relatives and friends of the devotee try to exhibit their pleasure potencies to get the devotee to come back to the material world. Basically, they want to say, in effect, to the devotee that we can give you pleasure. Why are you going to Radha and Krishna? We can give you pleasure. And they exhibit the minute pleasure-giving potency they have as parts and parcels of Krishna to try to lure the devotee back into the material world. But the minute pleasure that one can get from the minute pleasure potencies of one's friends and families in the material world cannot compare to the unlimited pleasure one can get from Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote the poet Vidyapati, who said that that the material world is like a desert, and the happiness we get from society, friendship, and love is like a drop in the desert. Yes, we can say there is some happiness there, but it's a drop. And a drop of water in a desert cannot do much. We require we require oceans of happiness for the soul really to be satisfied, because the soul originally is part of the spiritual energy. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also used to give the example of the fish, that the fish can only be happy in water. If you take the fish out of water, even if you put the fish in a beautiful bowl filled with precious jewels and gems, but without water, the fish will not be happy, because the fish is a creature of the water, and he can only be happy in the water. Similarly, we spiritual souls are part of the spiritual energy. We belong in the spiritual world. And therefore, no matter how hard we try to be happy in the material world, we can never really be happy. There is some happiness, but not enough to satisfy us. But when we come into contact with the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, in other words, the Ladini Shakti, personified as Srimati Radharani, then we can feel the real pleasure that can satisfy the heart and soul of the devotee. Although in one sense Srimati Radharani is far away in Vrindavan with Sri Krishna, but in another sense she is also very near in the form of her holy name. As the devotees here have kindly informed us or reminded us, glory, glory to the holy name of Radha that permanently dwells everywhere in Vrindavan, and that is the ocean of Krishna's blissful transcendental pastimes. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are chanting the names of Radha and Krishna. And in fact, great acharyas like Srila Jiva Goswami and others have described different pastimes of Radha and Krishna that are contained, if you will, or manifest from the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra itself. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're chanting the names of Radha and Krishna. Hare is the way we address Radha, as Radhe, and Krishna, of course, is the way we address Sri Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we're chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna. And they are present on our tongues when we chant. And they include their forms, their qualities, their pastimes, their associates, their paraphernalia, their dham, everything about them. So when we become proficient in chanting the holy names, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in other words, when we can chant without offense, and purely, when we can chant purely, then we can realize everything about the divine couple in the holy names. And therefore, the best process to realize the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the happiness of Krishna consciousness is to constantly chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For they contain the entire abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham, along with the divine couple and all of their associates and servants. We don't need to practice any artificial method to realize their pastimes and to associate with them. And therefore, as so many scriptures say, and specifically here I refer to one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the doubtless and fearless way of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, following the ways of the authorities. So, here I think of the cartoon that appeared in one magazine some years ago, where an old couple is sitting on a park bench, and the old lady is saying to the old man, "Chant, chant, chant," and the old man is replying, "Can't, can't, can't." So that is our misfortune. That is our misfortune. Although the entire bliss of the spiritual world is available in the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, we don't chant. We don't have the time or the inclination. And therefore, we tend to get absorbed in the glimmer of the material world and the small prospects of material happiness offered in the material world. And therefore, the association of devotees is so important. Because in the association of devotees, we're reminded of the great pleasure to be experienced in Krishna consciousness through the chantings of the holy names. And the great pleasure that Srimati Radharani has to offer us when we try to engage in the service of her beloved Sri Krishna. So we are grateful to Sarvatma Prabhu and his good wife for their constant efforts to keep us engaged in chanting the holy names in the Santa Barbara area, and to all of you who come and form the congregation in which we can engage in the congregational chanting of the holy names. The congregational chanting of the holy names was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga Dharma. He appeared to fulfill many purposes, but he also appeared as the Yuga Avatar, and he gave us the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy names of Krishna in Sankirtan. So, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, the six Goswamis and the other Acharyas in the line, we are able to come together. And especially by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who brought the chanting of Hare Krishna to the West and taught us the science of Krishna consciousness, we are now able to meet at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda in Isla Vista, California, and relish some of the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Sri Sri Radha Govinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premananda.
Maharaj.
Oh, yes.
On Monday, just a couple of days ago, Jagannath Maharaj had a stopover in Los Angeles, and he took a taxi to the temple during the morning program and surprised the devotees and gave Bhagavatam class. And he was speaking about the coming Radhastami is coming up, and he gave a really nice story that I could share with you now. That Radha and Krishna were in the groves in Vrindavan, and the peacocks were dancing. And Krishna said to Radharani that I'll dance for your pleasure. And so Krishna was dancing for Radharani's pleasure. And then when he was finished, he came up and said, "How was that?" It was all right. This is how he told it. And so he said, "Oh, I'll do better." So he went back and danced some more for her pleasure. And the peacock started dancing with him. And then he was finished dancing and he came up to Radharani and he goes, "Was that good?" And she goes, "It was better." So then he said, "Oh, well." And so he went again to dance. And he really, really tried hard. And he was dancing so beautifully that Radharani couldn't resist and got up and danced with her. And they were like peacocks dancing together.
Oh, yes.
So the example was that even Krishna wants to please Radharani.
Yes.
That is true. I thought of the verse from the Venu Geet where the gopis are appreciating the flute songs of Sri Krishna, and that when he plays on his flute, the peacocks dance in ecstasy. And they're so pleased with him that they want to make an offering to him. And but what can they offer to Krishna? I mean, the The only thing they really have to offer is their beautiful plumes. So they offer their plumes to Krishna. And therefore Krishna keeps a peacock feather in his helmet. So I actually had a chance to witness that tradition in Pakistan, because in Pakistan actually many of the traditions are observed more even than in India. And so our godbrother Amoghalila Prabhu had visited a Sufi temple in Karachi, and he was playing the mridanga in the Sufi temple. So the most famous and reputed to be the most expert of ghazal singers in Pakistan also happened to come into the same temple at the same time. Although he actually lived in Lahore, he was visiting Karachi, and he saw Amoghalila playing the mridanga. So, you know, he asked if he was a musician, and Amoghalila said, well, he's a devotee, but he does play musical instruments. And they developed a friendship on the basis of music to begin. And he was an old man, I mean, relatively an old man, and the Muslims, the older Muslims who lived in India before the partition, they're used to having Hindu friends, and you know, they're much more open to the culture of devotees there. So he was invited to so I forget the name of the famous singer, but he was invited to perform at a very wealthy man's house in Karachi. And he invited Amoghalila and the other devotees to join him. So we all went, and the man, I mean, Pakistan is different from India in the sense that the rich really live like rich people. In India, I think they're more afraid of the income tax authorities, so they hide their wealth. But in Pakistan, I don't think they don't seem to be afraid. So, I mean, he had this, like, palace. It was really like a palace. And a huge lawn and garden. And Karachi is really hot during the summer. I mean, really hot. And this was during the summer. So the performance was scheduled from about, I think it was 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. And that was the only time it was cool enough to gather together. So anyway, the man performed, and there were all these aristocratic, you know, Pakistani ladies and gentlemen. And as he was performing, people would come up, and some of the women actually gave some of their jewelry. And of course, many people gave money. And it reminded me of how when Krishna played his flute, the peacocks would offer their feathers to him in appreciation. That was the tradition. So then the man invited us to sing, which was really a special opportunity. And I had the idea that we should... Oh yeah, that's another thing, that the ghazals, and yeah, well, geets and ghazals.
What does that mean?
It's a form of song. I don't know technically, but it takes the guise of a love song. Mm-hmm. But the esoteric explanation is that the songs actually describe the devotee's love for the Lord. that they can be, on one level, they can be seen as mundane love songs, but actually they're meant to be love songs to the Lord, mm-hmm. by the devotee. But anyway, there was, it's getting a bit long here, but there was a Sindhi poet. He's like, you know, the most popular Sindhi poet, and some scholar said, like, what Shakespeare is to English, mm-hmm. and what Goethe is to German, he is to Sindhi. And he lived around the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or maybe a little after. He's said to have been a vegetarian. And he definitely lived with sadhus in Vraj. And so he's written many poems about Vraj, and about the flute. And so anyway, I just had the idea we should sing Jai Radha Madhava. It's like Prabhupada said, it gives the whole picture of Vrindavan. And so we did. And the people loved it. The people really loved it. And they also came up and gave little offerings to us. So, it's like, sort of like love is, the love of God is the universal language. It transcends all different cultures and linguistic differences. And there they were, hearing about the glories of Radha and Madhava in Karachi, and relishing it. That's Srimati Radharani's mercy. The pleasure potency.
Well, it's really very easy, but I just wanted to tell you why we're singing this song. For anyone who's ever visited Vrindavan or lived in Vrindavan, you may remember that sometimes all night long these bridge bhasis would sing this very simple song. They would sort of start slowly, and then sometimes I remember I would wake up in the middle of the night and they would still be going at it, and wake up the next morning and they'd still be singing the same song. So somehow just sort of formed an impression in my heart and stayed there. And so sometimes we like to sing it at home, and the words actually mean that Hamara Dana means Srimati Radharani is my is mine.
Wealth.
My wealth, okay. Then Jivan Dana means Srimati Radharani is my life, its soul. Param Dan means she's my supreme goal. And Pranadan means she's also my life. And
she's what?
My life. Prana, my life air, my soul, my everything. So, although I can't say that exactly about myself, that's the meaning of the words. And a very, very simple, you'll pick it up as we go along. And I certainly can't do justice to it, either musically or devotionally, but we'll just go along and sing it. Radha Dana Radha Shri Radha Shri Radha
Radha Dana Radha Shri Radha Shri Radha
Thank you.
Thank you.